Welcome to Season 2 of Assessment in Focus, the podcast from Inspira, where we invite our guests to share their insights on assessment, transformation, innovation, and enhancement. My guest on this episode is Dr. Alison Purvis from Sheffield Hallam University. Alison has spent over 25 years in higher education and is Associate Dean with responsibility for learning, teaching, and student success. And she leads on developing and implementing institutional approaches to curriculum design, assessment, and student experience. So a perfect guest for this podcast. Her role sits at the intersection of strategy and delivery, and she works closely with academic leaders, professional services, and external partners to drive change at scale. A significant part of Alison's impact has been in educational transformation, including leading institutional initiatives related to digital education and artificial intelligence, most recently implementing an approach to AI transparency across Sheffield Hallam University. More broadly, Alison's contributed to sector-level work with organisations such as JISC and the Office for Students, which has ensured a wide perspective on the direction of higher education and the challenge institutions are navigating in contemporary higher education. Alison, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation and the generous introduction.
We first met a couple of months ago on a panel at the Westminster Policy Forum, where you showed some slides, which you've been using to get people to think really broadly about AI. And I was captivated by the slides and thought, this is definitely somebody I want to have on the podcast. And I'm not going to rehearse the slides, but ask you some questions that I've been asking a lot of people in this season to get your perspective on, particularly the impact of AI in assessment, but assessment more broadly and where we're going. The audience for this podcast is predominantly people thinking about anything from assessment, innovation and enhancement to the BAU of assessment and how they can make it run more efficiently. So I'm going to go straight into my first question for you, and it does relate to AI. Is AI capable of grading work and providing feedback comments to an academically acceptable level? And if so, do we need educators in assessment and feedback processes at all?
Gosh, what a question to start us off with. Well, I think there's a short answer, but of course, the actual answer is much more nuanced. So the short answer, I think, is yes, but just because it's capable doesn't make it the right choice to make. So generative artificial intelligence can produce really rapid and often well-structured feedback, but it doesn't mean necessarily that it's correct or that it's focusing on the right things. I think generative AI can often struggle with nuance. It can struggle with context and originality, and certainly can struggle with accuracy. And particularly thinking about the grading aspect of your question, can it grade work to an academically acceptable standard? I think that part of your question, the answer is, in short, no, it can't. At least it can't do so reliably, because it doesn't actually know what is correct and what is incorrect, because it is just recognizing and, well, it's scraping data from various sources, and it's using that to really do pattern recognition. That's at the core of its process. So it will reflect the quality and bias of the training prompts that it's been subject to, that the data that it's used to be trained on, and the quality of that can be highly variable. It can include some really good quality aspects, but it can certainly include some really poor quality data and data that's riddled with various issues and biases. While technically I think the answer is yes, the correct answer for me is no. Although there are some ways in which generative artificial intelligence can be really instrumental in providing really effective feedback for students. It can be used in a formative way for students to get some really detailed, personalized, and really helpful feedback to help them improve their work and to think about various aspects of their work. But for me, educators are absolutely at the core and remain essential for good academic judgment, for ethical practices, and really making meaning in their marking, grading, and feedback. So yes, it can be really helpful, really useful as a feedback tool, but it's not reliable as a grading and feedback tool. It's certainly not in summative assessment. But there's lots of ways in which we can use it, which are great for learning, but not everything.
What sort of questions should educators be asking themselves, or points they should be considering in deciding the efficacy of whether it's generative AI or classification AI and machine learning? There are, of course, strong opinions abound about AI in education. But for those who are looking to analyze what they're doing, how do they go about making this decision?
I think that's one of the issues that we've got with academic colleagues at the moment, that they don't know how to make those decisions, because their literacy around generative AI and other forms of AI are quite limited in many aspects. So what is AI versus what is generative AI? What is machine learning? I think a lot of colleagues don't understand the answers to those questions and feel quite overwhelmed, in fact, in trying to learn some of these aspects. AI is really fast moving. There's so many different aspects to it. It's complex. The kind of things that we need to consider in our use of artificial intelligence is really complex. And it can be quite intimidating, I think, for colleagues to really get into that mix and to think about what does it mean and how might I use it? So even considering those aspects before you get into any technicalities and any digital skills can be quite off-putting, I think. So I think that there's a step before answering that question, which is those basic literacy skills that I think quite often are neglected because it's complex. And providing resources to be able to address that problem are relatively limited at the moment.
Yeah, I think that echoes something that I've heard speaking to academic colleagues and speaking at conferences, that people perhaps more privately bemoan the lack of resources or the potential sort of neutrality in those resources, which is just a fact of life. That's not AI specific. That's anything that we read. In the space of feedback, one of the points that was put to me recently was that we really ought to draw the distinction between feedback and a comment. A comment is a comment. It's only feedback when it's couched in the way that probably requires a human to look at it. Mm-hmm. And so the follow-up from that I want to ask you about is how, if we have an answer to it, how do we get to the stage where if generative AI or classification AI is providing us with something that's purporting to be a comment, how, and if it's different between the two, say, how should educators best be looking at these to make sure that they are actually interrogating the output and not just clicking yes because it's a suggestion made to them?
Yeah, and that's a core skill for using artificial intelligence. How you take that critical approach to an output to make a decision, is this actually any good? You know, put simply, is this output actually helpful? Is it correct? Is it doing what it's supposed to be doing? And that's, again, a part of those real core literacy skills in determining the value of the output. And there's a lot of different aspects that go into that. You know, that skill of determining the ethics of using AI in the first place, the bias that may be underlying the response, and are there any biases that are coming through in that response, and many different aspects. So having that criticality is one of those core skills that I think colleagues are struggling with at the moment and needing that particular support with.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, though, everything that you said is the sort of skill set and questions that we should be asking of any output that we ever see. I wonder aloud whether there is an ability to be saying to people, it's using the same critical hat or lens or whatever you want to call it for any of the outputs that you see. This is just a different one that happens to come from a machine.
Yeah. I think there's probably a slight difference, though. yeah, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this as well. I think that the way in which generative AI, and particularly large language models, give you back the response is very affirmative. It's very easy almost to be seduced or lulled into that false sense of security because yes. It's so affirmative in the way that it approaches. It is almost conversational in how it provides you a response. You know, it doesn't have any kind of disagreement in how it responds to you. It's very positive in how it responds. So I think it's easy to be lulled into that, like I say, that false sense of security. So you forget that it's a machine. You forget that it's a computer. You know, it's not a real person, but it's an interesting dynamic, I think, that gives something quite different, particularly in large language models.
Very, very much so. AI has been characterized as so many things. The assistant, I've heard it described as the slightly drunk, youthful assistant. I agree with you. It's conversational, but it's your most confident colleague in some ways because it's chatting to you, but it's very much saying, I'm right. At the same time, it crumples very easily. I told a large language model 3 times today, you haven't done the thing that I asked you to do. And each time it was like, well, I'm terribly sorry, but yeah. Here we go, with great confidence in getting it wrong again. Mm-hmm. So yeah, confident and wrong.
Yeah.
My next question is one that I wrote it some time ago. I've asked almost everyone in this season, and I've just amended it as I've gone along. Instead of asking you whether AI will transform or undermine educational assessment, because I know that all the answers I'm going to get will be a bit of both, I'm going to amend that to, in what ways do you see it transforming and in what ways do you see it undermining?
Well, my answer was going to be both, neither, and it depends. So absolutely. So I think it can transform assessment if we are looking at how it supports iteration, how it can provide feedback in a helpful way. And obviously, I'm sure you've had other guests using this word, authentic. You know, how does this assessment task replicate what we see in industry and professional practice, in discipline? And it can be challenging for colleagues to understand what that might look like. So that's where it's really important that we get those industry experts into the conversation, get those employers into the conversation about how we are using artificial intelligence in those industries, in those disciplines, so it can transform assessments, so that our graduates go into those industries, go to those employers already using those skills in a realistic and in a so-called authentic way. So I think we can transform assessment if we do genuinely think about what it actually looks like in practice, and we need to speak to employers who are doing that right now. How it can undermine assessment, well, I think that's obvious. If we carry on in denial that we can use the traditional assessments that we have for many years without making any changes to practice, then it's certainly going to undermine. I think we're still having those conversations about policing generative artificial intelligence within assessment. Those days are gone. We cannot police AI. Any attempts to do so will only result in false positives, identifying AI where AI doesn't exist. And it doesn't take much to amend an AI output to make it immediately not look like an AI output. It doesn't take much. So any attempt to keep traditional assessments is going to fail, and that's not doing our students disservice by carrying on with those types of assessments anyway, because that's not what we're going to see in practice, what we're going to see in industry. So that connection again to industry, I think, is really key to making sure assessment is fit for purpose, fit for learning, and will take our graduates into successful careers into the future. So for me, it's not the technology that's the issue here, it's the design, and it's how we think about rethink assessment for the future, and how we incorporate AI in a meaningful way, and refocus. You know, we've got to think about those higher order thinking skills, we've got to think about more effective critical skills. And really, I think there's a lot of conversation about how AI may be destroying education. You know, what's the point of education if we've got AI? Well, actually, does it not reinforce the role of really clear, deep understanding of a topic, of a discipline, of a professional area? Because when you have that deep understanding, that deep applied knowledge of an area, then you can use AI most effectively because you can take that critical lens. You can understand when the output is right and when it's wrong, when it's helpful, when it's not. But without that knowledge, without that deep understanding of a topic, a practice, a discipline, whatever it might be, you won't successfully be able to use generative artificial intelligence. So for me, it goes hand in hand, but it's very much thinking in a different way. Now, that does pick up the point. It sounds, I often get accused of saying things like, well, it sounds like you're just accepting AI has to be used and there's no alternatives. We still have to have that critical view, that ethical view of when should we use AI and when shouldn't we? And it's not, and give people an opt out within that process as well. So there's lots of challenges to weigh up here, but pretending that AI is going to go away or pretending that we can police it, it's not doing anyone justice to education. So yeah, I think we've really got to build it in and think about how it's changing and transforming disciplines.
And agreeing with you that the perhaps challenge or concern that's held by educators is we can lean further into employers and their views, what they see as effective, what they would like to see graduate attributes to be or skills following their learning, teaching and assessment. How do we guard against the potential threat of universities just becoming finishing schools for people going into certain jobs? How do we make sure that we're getting the views of employers as an amorphous group rather than specific employers who are saying, well, if you teach accounting, I'm an accountancy firm, therefore you must teach them to do this and that's all I care about?
Yeah, I think I reflected it really in my previous answer in that surely it positions higher education as that place where you really get to grips with the knowledge, the detail, the application of a subject and explore things, new ideas. Universities shouldn't just be a point of transmission of existing knowledge from the so-called expert to the student. It should be a place in which the current experts with new students can co-create that new knowledge, that new application together. And that's what they bring to the picture, along with employers who are informing the direction of whatever business, discipline, industry, profession, how things are changing there. It surely should be a complementary and co-productive relationship between, like I say, so-called experts, students and employers and industry together shaping future knowledge.
To what extent will that help with, I often think about the degrees that are very much tilted at specific employers or professions. When we look at degrees that aren't, but obviously have huge benefits to the people taking them and huge benefit to employers because they hire thousands of them. In what way can employers best think about how they get together to say these are the core skills that we are really looking for universities to outturn as part of a rounded individual? Mm-hmm. Because I know certainly, I've worked at a professional university where there was that great link between specific degrees and employers. Think about the employers who might listen to this or be thinking about it. How do they best interact with the universities?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Some courses are obviously very directly linked to the industry or the profession that they are going into, but some much less so. And at Sheffield Hallam, our strapline is knowledge applied. So we're always thinking about that connection into practice or industry. And it is about having those strong connections with employers, looking at those core skills that you mentioned, those transferable skills. And that the employers are not always looking for a particular title of degree. They're looking at the graduates that can adapt, that understand various digital technologies, how to implement knowledge and apply it in new ways and innovative ways. So it's not just about the degree title. It's about what that student can bring into that industry and how they can transfer and apply different skills and knowledge in new and exciting ways, I think. So that conversation between employers, industry and the universities is absolutely critical.
Massively so. I think it's more of it is what we need. And I certainly, talking to employers that I've met, have said, I think almost every university would be delighted to talk to you. There's building links is hugely important. I want to ask about assessment practice in particular, and I agreeing with your point in the previous question that policing the use of AI is not our way of going about it. This has got to be about careful instructions and dialogue with students so they understand what they're doing and why. But if we look at AI in assessment practice, is there a benefit that we can drive from assessment practice or in assessment practice from AI that you think we should be either doing more of or exploring more in doing more of in the future?
So I think your initial question, I touched a little bit on how generative AI can really help with rapid formative feedback for students and really get into a lot of detail that perhaps educators haven't got the time resource to be able to do so. But that is dependent upon students understanding how to effectively prompt the generative AI to deliver something that's effective. So tied up in a lot of this is that digital skill development, that AI use development that staff and students need as well. So there is some of that required within this to be able to deliver something that's effective. I think AI can be quite helpful for educators who are looking to deliver feedback that's meaningful for students. So I've used it myself to look at feedback that I'm giving and asked it questions about the value of my own feedback. So, you know, does this make sense? Are there any gaps within this feedback and how to improve it? So educators can also get feedback on their feedback. You know, how can we make it meaningful? And so it can be applied by students in an effective way. Can also help with data insights into what are the common kind of errors or misconceptions within particular knowledge subjects or assessment pieces. And I think any way in which we look at using it to improve assessment, it should be in a way that means that we're ultimately prioritising the academic time in those complex academic judgments and so where it brings most value for students. So looking at where we can improve those efficiencies and the quality of things, but making sure that ultimately there is time for that academic judgment so that students know there are humans involved in looking at their assessments, providing them with feedback. Whatever we do, it should prioritise that and that should always be our goal.
And that very much chimes with the, I did quite a lot of research in 2024 with educators around the world, asking them what they wanted from AI. And the sort of the golden thread through all of it was AI providing insights and feedback to me on human generated content is fine. It's when I feel like the AI is doing the work. I mean, I know from writing thousands of pieces of feedback that, yeah, you know, the Monday and Friday feedback probably could do with going through something that would say to me, too vague, too harsh, too, you know, the Wednesday afternoon was your perfect point. Let's radiate back outwards from there. Or certainly where you have that feeling of, I've written this piece of feedback to virtually everyone now. Have I really? Is there a better way of putting it? So it's interesting to hear that, you know, a couple of years in from that, that's still very much the feeling because that's what we're getting from people. The final question I have for you is, I think if we look online and look at the AI debate in education, the noisiest parts of the debate are very much one or the other side of the coin. The noisy middle don't exist. So we, in the course of this podcast, you've set out a number of potential benefits as well as drawbacks. Are the potential benefits worth the perceived risks or actual risks that might live within AI? And if so, why?
Gosh, that's a big question, isn't it? I think the benefits outweighing the risks is such a tricky balance for us to make. So the benefits being how we might be able to scale. So, for example, the formative feedback, that's something that could benefit a large amount of students very easily. Access to information, personalization of feedback to students, generating insights to collections of assessments. They're all things that a large language model could really help with and provide additional benefits to that you know, time-poor academics would find challenging to produce that level of content and feedback. So there's some of the benefits, but the risks, of course, I've touched upon the ethics, the bias, that seduction of positivity and reassurance from generative AI that isn't always accurate. And I think relying on that positive aspect, encouraging us to rely upon generative AI in a way that's not helpful, that ultimately will risk us that loss of human judgment. Because as we get used to using generative AI, we become less confident in our own abilities of judgment. I think that's a real risk. You know, I think it's tempting to put lots of things through AI to get feedback on before you release it via email or whatever it might be. And you've lost some confidence in your own abilities. So for me, that's a key risk. And that's why quite often in my own work, I come back to what are the core principles here. And so I often talk about transparency being the foundation of ethical practice with generative AI. So sharing what you're doing, how you're using generative AI is so important, because once we start hiding what we are doing or being less open about what we're doing, I think there's something that's indicative of that, that, you know, should actually we be using generative AI in this way. So always being transparent, always being willing to disclose and be open about uses is so important. And I think that can be a real core mitigation for some of those risks that I talked about. So it's absolutely got to be about communication and transparency. And careful thought about the ethical use, that we're not using as a replacement. We are using Gen AI as an enhancement. It's supporting, but we are always using that critical lens and thinking carefully about the place that generative AI has in whatever it might be. So for us at Hallam, it's been about what is our institutional approach and are we clear about that? And how are we supporting staff capability so in turn that students can be supported in their own capability? And our work has been very much centred on transparency in communicating our use or otherwise of Gen AI.
And I really applaud that, and I hope others are following the same practice, because aside from that transparency being so important to students in all aspects of their education, it does force you to think about how you use it. I know that at the time of recording, early June 2026, my greatest use of generative AI is in things I already know, because I actually then believe I can properly interrogate the output. It is very often, I've come up with 10 ideas, give me 5 more, and I use it as a scale to see whether it can actually come up with more. Or my next holiday, where I'd had a long back and forth. But I think there's the sort of duality of that transparency, but also us using it for its real purpose. Mm-hmm. The transparency brings to light whether you are using it in the right way. The idea that you can write one prompt and get 1,000 good words, I hope has died a death, but I don't know. I think if people are forced to say what they're using it for, that might help one another, you know, decide whether they're using Gen AI for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. Alison, thank you so much for the discussion today. These are interesting times we live in, and I know that because our audience tell us, hearing more perspectives is what's really useful to people as they examine their own practice, as they validate their own practice, as they come up with new things that they may want to consider. So thank you for coming on the podcast. And as always, I want to thank our listeners and viewers, if you view the vodcast version of this. If you found this episode useful, please like, subscribe, share it via your preferred podcast platform. And if you have time for a review, that is also really welcome. Assessment in Focus is brought to you by Inspira, providing flexible assessment with integrity. I've been Ishan Kolhatkar, and I will see you next time.